Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to A Musical Journey Like No Other, giving you an in-depth, invigorating, and exclusive look at the newest Smashing Pumpkins concept album, Autumn. This is 33 with William Patrick Corgan, and this is the 16th step on this interstellar musical expedition. If it's your first time listening to 33, welcome to the show. If you've been with us since the very beginning, thanks for being fans, thanks for tuning in, especially now during the holiday season. On this episode, like almost every episode of 33, we're going to have a world premiere of a song from the album Autumn. This time, the song is titled Night Waves. As always, we're going to break down the story, the lyrics, and the melody of the song with Smashing Pumpkins frontman Billy Corgan. And we're also diving into classic tracks from the Billy Corgan catalog. On this episode, we are listening to and analyzing Whirr off the 1994 compilation album Pisces Iscariot. We have so much music to talk about, we're going to go without a guest on this episode, but joining us on this journey is my friend and broadcast partner, Kyle Davis.
Thank you for having me, as always. I love it when it's this intimate thing with just the three of us. I like guests, I like learning more, but also I like to get to spend time with just you guys. It's the holiday season, I hope everybody had a fantastic holiday. The new year is right around the corner, and because of that, I just want to give you a friendly reminder. Make sure you're using the hashtag WPC33 spelled out on social media. We want to hear from you. We want you to be a part of the conversation. Also, 2023 is just going to be even bigger than 2022. Obviously, we're doing the podcast here. The new album. Billy, you just literally got back from recording another album. You're unstoppable. How you feeling this holiday season?
Santa is surly. Surly Santa. I'm not quite yet in the holiday spirit because I've been working so much. These last few months have really taken their toll on my health and my mind. As a reminder, since we're still in the holiday zone, take gentle care on yourselves. I'm working too much. I know that. And it's certainly having not a negative effect on my family, but I see where my kids are missing me and I'm not around for the holiday decorating like I normally am and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm not a person to paint a perfect picture. So I'm being critical of myself, but not in a harsh way. But I'm definitely sort of over my skis, to use the colloquial term. Too much work. And I'm not being negative here. And the podcast is part of that. You know, I threw this endeavor on the pile of things to do in 2022. So it's been one of the biggest years I've had in a very long time. Very grateful for that. But it reminds me of why I almost lost my mind in the 90s, because you end up doing more than usual because you get more opportunities between NWA meetings, NWA opportunities that I can't talk about. And then, of course, everything that's going on with the band. And then even I'm getting other opportunities that I can't even talk about. It's pretty crazy. So here we are.
Feast or famine.
What's that?
It's feast or famine. Isn't that always the way it is? You either have everything on the table or there's nothing.
Well, there's an old adage that when you're poor, no one wants to give you anything for free. And when you don't need it, that's when people send you free stuff, something like that. So again, not complaining. But I think the point I'm trying to make, and I'm using myself as the example, is balance in life is really everything. As a Pisces, we occasionally refer to our astrological signs here on the podcast. Balance is the key to life. Living your purpose is the key to happiness, but balance, if you want to chase your endeavors, is really critical. And I'm really feeling it physically and emotionally. We worked 21 days in a row counting NWA tapings. And then even on the days that I was in the NWA tapings in Nashville, Jimmy was in the studio working without me. So he and I both worked 21 days in a row. And we were both feeling the effects of that. The good news is we've recorded most of the drums, we think. We'll see how the songs shake out here in the recording process, but we recorded what we think is most of what will be the follow-up to Autumn, and it's certainly a cracking, rocking album, probably our most rocking album in about 15 plus years. So we're excited about that, but even that, again, more work to try to navigate in 2023. People keep asking me why I'm back in the studio so soon. I really feel that the sky is finally lightening up over the band as far as new music goes. Autumn is a huge part of that process. As we talked about last episode with Corrine Luxon, the band's social media director. And even you could see it in the people's interest in the merchandise, which is another key indicator of where the band's headed, sort of in the world. It's worth reminding people that we live in such a complicated ecosystem of video games, new TV shows, and even now you see networks not only launching shows on broadcast television, but on their digital streaming platforms, which we, of course, one day hope to be part of with the NWA. So it's super complicated to navigate. And if you have the door open a bit, which we do, you have to push back through. If you looked at some of the most successful tours of 2022, the top 10, I believe the Chili Peppers, our brothers in arms, were one of the top bands. And, you know, they're setting high water marks for a touring act. You know, the Foo Fighters, of course, are going to continue to have large-scale success. Pearl Jam, one of the biggest bands in the world. So as things open back up for the Smashing Pumpkins, we will not only have economic opportunities, which we never really had because the band in many ways broke up at our absolute peak, but I think it'll afford us artistic opportunities, which is what we're most interested in. And again, that's why we're back in the studio.
I like that you're looking to the future. There's all that on the horizon. I'm an introspective guy. I can tell you that this year has been crazy. 2022 has been life-changing for myself. I know it's been life-changing for Joe, coming on the NWA full-time. Used to be a newsman. Now he's doing stuff like this with us. You know, obviously, you recorded two albums for the sake of it. Things have been building. Looking back, was 2022 everything you hoped it would be when you were leading into it?
Yes, but I think like all great fairy tales, you know, there's always this kind of thing that comes with it. And I think that's why many people are really afraid of success, because the downside of success, whether it's in people being weird with you, undue attention, people taking cheap shots at you because you're sort of back at the till in the public consciousness. You know, I've referred to a couple times on this podcast to an interview I did recently where, you know, the interviewer, who was quite nice and the interview turned out fine, is still dredging up stuff that's 20 plus years old. It's like, why are these things being dredged up? Well, look at it in the positive. I'm still around for them to be dredged up and people are still sort of curious about me and or the band. The downside is we're having this same conversation for the 800th time and I'm sort of adjudicating something that's long been proven, which is the band has endurance and staying power. And ask yourself any number of questions about me or the band. Why do you do it? Will the band ever get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? These are all sort of qualifying questions that sort of dance around the subject of like, what is the value of the band? The band doesn't focus on that. The band focuses on, well, here we are. We have guitars in hand and let's go. We'll sort out the debris later. But as we have learned, and I think this is what I'm trying to say in sort of a cautionary way, as we go along, I think certainly now in our 50s, we're much more conscious of the cost upon those around us. I've lost friendships this year. There's been public squabbles involving me on a professional level. What I'm trying to say is, yes to your question. It's been a magical, amazing year. Anytime you can headline festivals, Madison Square Garden, the United Center, where do we play in California? It just happened the other day, and I can't even remember. Outside.
Was that the Bowl?
The Hollywood Bowl, right? What does that show you? I can't even think of the place I played at 4 weeks ago.
Life's so good, and he's like, I don't remember playing at the Hollywood Bowl.
Well, I can remember standing there, and I can remember how magical it was, and I can certainly quote you how many people were in the door, and I could even tell you what we did in terms of T-shirt numbers, right? But that's what I'm trying to say is all things have a cost, and that's actually what I want to talk a lot about in segment two today. Let's call it the cost of belief and faith in something. And so that sort of sets that up. So let's put that conversation on pause. But that's a wonderful question, Kyle. And yes, back to Surly Santa. I'm very, very grateful. And certainly if you're listening to this podcast, I'm very, very grateful. This too is a complicated medium, the world of podcasting, as I'm finding out, as I'm poking around whether or not we're going to continue the podcast after this series ends. So yes, we're very grateful and look not past that because that's at the core of everything that I want to say. But let's focus now on the Autumn album. We are into the song Night Waves, which
Loved
is a continuance past Moss, which as we discussed last time, was the X and I delivering their propaganda message to the world, backspinning why, you know, 4,000, 6,000 spaceships just suddenly floated out of space off into the ether. And now they're explaining something that they never thought they were going to have to explain. So Night Waves is an interesting song. I want to talk about it a bit musically before we talk about the thematics. Originally, the song, as you're going to hear in a few moments, kind of had a Cars feel. You know, as many people know, I worked with Rick Ocasek of the Cars, the leader and main songwriter of the Cars, who became a friend and he's now passed away. Through that, got to know his wife at the time, Paulina Poroskova, and at different times have met members of the Cars. One of my favorite bands of all time, certainly a big influence on my musical thinking. So working with Rick, getting to know Rick, getting a little inside Rick's head, it's kind of cool because when I write a song that sort of reminds me of something Rick would write, I almost feel like Rick's riding shotgun with me, kind of giving me advice. So originally, the song had more of a Cars feel, which if you refer to our cover of You're All I've Got Tonight from Airplane Flies High box set, you can kind of understand the Pumpkins doing the Cars routine. And so we started there. We all thought it was kind of good. And at some point in the recording process with Howard Willing and I, we decided, oh, this isn't going to work. The reason it didn't work wasn't because of the Cars. It's because it wasn't really saying anything new because it sounded like the Pumpkins doing a poor Cars imitation. Yeah, so we were like, okay, this isn't going to work. It sounds a little too old school, but not in a good way. And so off we went on this musical adventure. A musical journey like no other. And we ended up sort of somewhere in the neighborhood of Brian Eno producing Talking Heads. If anybody wants a reference, think of the Remain in Light album that Brian Eno produced for the Talking Heads. I certainly could argue that Brian Eno is probably the most influential musical producer of the last 30 or 40 years because his influence continues quite pervasively today, including his work recently with Coldplay. His use of rhythmic effects, and that sounds sort of almost negative, rhythmic figures in an unusual way, I think you'll hear, and if you listen closely, you'll hear marching band influences, which is not something you oftentimes think of when it comes to the Smashing Pumpkins, but all should know that Jimmy Chamberlain was actually in the marching band in college when he was a young man, a little before I met him. So I love the rhythmic aspects of the song, and like some of these songs that we have trouble with in recording, and you can imagine, I'm committed to the Autumn album. I've got 33 songs. I don't feel like writing anymore. I'm getting grumpy about the song. Howard's telling me it's a good song. Keep going. I'm willing to throw the song out the window. And we settle on something that sort of is kind of broken or fractured, meaning it's kind of a shadow of what it started as. So if you can listen to the song, simultaneously imagine what the Cars-like version would have sounded like, which I think many people would find generally pleasing. This is where the Pumpkins are sort of unique, is we're willing to take a chance and throw something sort of kind of twisted and jagged at the wall to see if it sticks. Last night, as we were preparing for this podcast, Kyle texted me and said, I'm really feeling this song right now. So there's a perfect example of where maybe our asymmetrical approach in recording and production reached Kyle, where maybe if Kyle heard the Cars song, it wouldn't have connected with him. So that's where we sort of land as a musical unit and why I'm so pro Pumpkin as far as taking chances in the studio, particularly at this point, because we learn something and we take some chances. And oftentimes we end up with a classic track 20 years later that everyone at the time thought wasn't so great. And I certainly don't need to name check those.
I have to say, like, just the feeling I got when listening to the song, it's very electronic, it's very whimsical, the energy of the track feels very positive and enlightening, and I was trying to break down the lyrics as far as who's singing the song or what perspective the song's coming from, so I don't want to guess because I feel like I'll get it wrong, but where are we as far as the story structure of Aqua?
Sure. So, back to the story. Once the X and I give their message of propaganda, of course, Nighthawk and Osyra, who, like a lot of young people, pay a lot of attention to social media, realize that not only is the number one suppressive governmental agency in the world after them, and their lives, of course, are in danger as they've been sort of hunted before, but now they're the target of kind of speculation. People are questioning their families. Like, they've been drawn into something that's so massive and beyond them. They're really scared beyond a level of just for their own personal safety. Now they're into something that's so big and so vast that they don't know where to go. And so they make the decision, along with Ruby, that they're going to go to Dr. Aish's house. And if you remember, Dr. Aish was the hacker guy that started this whole thing because Osyra reached out to him with Shiny's demo, which was his last sort of will and testament song. And he was the one that sent her on this magical mission of figuring out what this was all about. So they figure, as a sort of old school hacker, he'd be the one person that they could trust against a governmental agency like the X and I. So this song is them driving through the night to try to get to Dr. Aish's house. So this is Osyra looking out the window, sort of whimsically sort of musing on her life that she's left because she can never go back to who she was. It's sort of a loss of innocence type of thing. But at the same time, as she's looking out the window, she's looking at people rioting and buildings are burning. Why is there rioting and all this stuff going on? Well, once the X and I admitted that they weren't in total control and they've had 20 plus years of being in total control, it sort of creates this little crack in the system where, oh, wait a second. A lot of what we're being told and reassured about maybe isn't as certain as they make it out to be. And so this ripples in the social order, and things in a very tight-knit society tend to fall apart very, very quickly. Look at what happened when the Berlin Wall came down. The collapse of the former Soviet Union was very, very quick. For many, many years, it looked all pervasive and unassailable. Well, when that fall came, it came about in a mere matter of weeks, because when things are built upon a lie, as most propaganda is, once the lie is subverted, well, that lie crumbles very quickly. What does the institutions normally do, as I've talked about before? Well, they tend to double, triple, quadruple down on the lie. Well, what happens when you're lying for the eighth or ninth time in a row? Again, to the Solzhenitsyn quote, they know you know they're lying. You know they know you're lying, and yet they persist in lie. Something like that. You follow the gist in my addled brain. And so so the social order is cracking apart. And so Osyra and Nighthawk also realize that they've set into motion not only something that's risking the lives of themselves and their families and their friends, but that the social order, which Osyra really, really had hoped to come about as somebody who was a proponent of social change, now she's seeing the very real net result of that decision, pro and con.
You know, the title Night Waves, it hit me because I literally live across the street from the beach. I go outside, I get introspective. If I have a rough night, I can hear the waves crashing down. I look up at the stars and it gets you really introspective. This song felt like a answer to Moss, like a direct correlation of you get the message of what you're supposed to be told, and now this is what you're feeling from that. It was somewhat of a song that to me hit me as like accepting something that you can't really... you can't change it completely, so you have to move forward knowing that this is the world you live in right now. It also had a hope to it. So when you're saying he's driving down the street and looking out the window and stuff and the chaos, that's a great visual, but like I kind of sort of hit me in that exact way. So good job.
Thank you. Well, and it's beautifully said. As I've mentioned before, I think there is nothing more powerful than the faith of a young person that their vote, their energy properly pointed can change the world. As we know, as being a little bit older, it doesn't always work so simply, but it is that faith and optimism in the simplicity of process that institutes change, whether it's Jimi Hendrix or a young political person who decides to get into the process. In essence, the cynicism is part of what grinds the gears down into a stasis, but young people tend to believe that if they push and they push hard enough, well, something can happen. So Osyra has inextricably been the agent for change. And on one level, Osyra is feeling, wow, I'm actually in the middle of something very, very important. And I'm actually at the center of that change, which is something that I wanted. But now I'm seeing the actual sort of net results of that. It's the mixed feelings that people have recently when we saw some of the rioting in the social unrest in the last few years. On one level, people will say, well, that's awful. Businesses are being burned. People are being harmed. People will be put out of work. And yet another person will say, well, this is what happens when you don't listen to people. This is what happens when you ignore generation after generation that really does want positive change. Again, that's something I want to talk about in segment two, because when you get into the fabric of what it means to break paradigms, as Nietzsche said, be careful, because when you peer into the darkness may peer back into you. And again, this is why most people are very afraid of taking positions in the world of power, because they're very afraid not only of what it means to take on the mantle of responsibility, but also the forces that rise up in opposition.
I think that's a good note for us to take a quick break. When we come back, the world premiere of the song Night Waves. This is 33 with William Patrick Corgan. Stay tuned.
Now available for pre-order at MadamZuzus.com. The autographed 4LP box set of Autumn, the new album by the Smashing Pumpkins. This 4LP colored vinyl pressing is limited to 1,333 units and will be machine numbered and autographed by the Smashing Pumpkins, Billy Corgan, Jimmy Chamberlain, James Iha, and Jeff Schroeder. The limited edition box set includes the three-act, 33-song rock opera That Is Autumn and 10 exclusive unreleased songs over the course of 5 7-inch singles that will not be available for streaming or found anywhere else. Go to MadamZuzus.com to pre-order today. Free shipping in the USA. 3-unit limit per order. Pre-order will ship after April 21st, 2023.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotika.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the 33 podcast. This is William Patrick Corrigan. Night Waves. Here we are about the middle of the record, and we have Osyra, Nighthawk, and Ruby cruising through the night, watching cities aflame. as Osiris stares out the window in reflection not only of the life that she's leaving, but maybe the life she's entering into. And like all agents of change, there are moments when you've wrought forces into motion and you have to ask yourself, is this a good or bad thing? And so Osiris is very much at that moment, and that's very much where we're at in this moment of the album. So please enjoy Night Waves.
Back, music fans, you just listened to the world premiere of the song Night Waves off of the Autumn album. I still get a lot of feels hearing it again, hearing it another time there, the positivity, the energy that kind of comes from it, even though what we're talking about has such deep roots into the discussions that we were having before about social change and all these things that are very difficult in life. Just the feeling of the song seems so uplifting to me.
So that's confusing to you, or I'm just lost in your
question?
Well,
it's just, I feel like, you know, when you talk about so much seriousness, and I think you do a lot of this with throughout your entire catalog of music, is you could take these very serious notes, but serious subjects, but have very whimsical music that accompanies it. And so it kind of, maybe it's a way to introduce a lot of thought in a way that wouldn't be palatable other ways. You know what I mean? Like to come into it with a very positive energy. Am I on the right track, Kyle?
I call that the pop effect. Every now and then you'll hear a song where you're like, this song is fantastic. And somebody be like, it's about a school shooting. And you're like, wait, what? Like there is a way of getting a message across and a commentary where people, like you said, makes it palpable. That is music. It's a way of tricking a listener sometimes into accepting and realizing and hearing and digesting something that would be hard to digest other way. So I think you're definitely onto something right there, Joe.
Let's talk about, in that context really quickly, Disney movies, the classic Disney movies. People still criticize Bambi because it's ultimately about the death of a parent. And people were like, why was Disney doing a whimsical movie that's ultimately about death? I'm not sure I've ever seen comments from Disney on the record for why he did the movie. But I think that's the perfect example where Disney oftentimes dealt with very complicated and scary themes, but was able to do it in a way that's sort of like, you know, whether it's the Grimm fairy tales or something, you contrast. And this is a bit of a leap from what I was just saying to what I'm about to say. Much of life now is digitally based, and there's an ongoing complaint. It's not going to change, which is as more and more people shift away from the natural order. Hey, I'm outside. I'm under a tree. I'm Kyle at the beach at night listening to the waves. Hey, I'm online and I'm having an experience listening to a podcast, or I'm watching some new Disney Plus special, right? No criticism there, but we all see where we're going more and more online as we're sort of interfacing in the hive mind of the world. One downside of that, which is very readily apparent already, is that people are choosing to distance themselves further and further from that in life which they find unpleasant, whether it's policing speech on the internet and not wanting people to use certain words. And as I remind people, and I got in this argument the other day with somebody, a friend of mine, basically the friend was equating the use of a particular word, and it wasn't an ethics slur if anybody wants to use their imagination. It was just the use of a particular word that some people, not everybody, would find offensive. And they were equating the use of that word with somebody murdering somebody. And I said, whoa, 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 back up. Do you realize what you're saying? Yes, I realize in digital culture, your logic makes sense. A digital offense that's worthy of cancelization, I know, again, that's not a word, being canceled over is the same as somebody who in the past murdered somebody. You understand, this is very strange logic, because literally for thousands of years, maybe tens of thousands of years, the use of a word versus killing somebody is 100 times more an offense. And digital culture has blurred the lines of what is worthy of being canceled over. There are people currently in positions of power in the world who murdered people, did their time in jail, got out, and they've restored their reputation. And there are people who have never killed anybody, never run anybody over with a car, or done anything horrible worthy of being incarcerated over, and yet they no longer have access to digital media because of something they said. That's pretty crazy to me. So I'm not here to adjudicate that today. That's not what I'm trying to talk about. But I'm trying to say is breaking the spell back to a place of natural order. How can you break the spell back to a place of natural order in the digital world? Maybe that's the title of this segment. You're talking to somebody who famously wrote a song, "Despite All My Rage, I'm Still Just a Rat in a Cage." What was that song about? It was me realizing that, yes, I was quote-unquote famous. Yes, and yes, I was getting rich. I was getting all the things that American is told, at least in my generation, were the hallmarks of success. And yet I felt completely imprisoned by the world that I was living in, whether it was my own pursuit of fame, the constraints on the band, whether it was from MTV, radio stations, record companies, managers telling us what we could and couldn't do. It felt weird. It's like on one hand, I had a level of freedom which I'd never had in my life. And on another level, I had more pressure on me to conform than I'd ever had in my life, which I guess is the running sort of thread of this particular podcast. So the point of all this screed in this particular segment, and that's why I did want to have a guest today, because I really did want to delve into this subject in particular. And of course, it lines up beautifully in a kismet way against Osiris' journey in the story, is what are the cages that we place ourselves in and how can we break out of them? So use myself as a quick illustration. There I am in 1995. I'm in a huge rock and roll band, and the band is just coming off a very successful recording session in the Melancholy Sessions. Our album debuts at number one. Suddenly, people who didn't want to talk to me since high school suddenly are now my best friend. All the stuff that you can imagine happens to me. I'm on top of the world. I walk into any restaurant, basically in America, and I'm instantly recognized. Free meals, you name it. All the stuff that is the stuff of fairy tales. And yet, and obviously before that, when I was writing the album, I felt this sort of weird pressure. So if you would imagine that by 1994, I'm already figuring out that I'm building my own cages that I can't get out of, that somewhere along the way since 1994 to 2022, I would have figured out how to get out of that cage or cages. And what I'm here to talk about is even at this point in my life, 55 years of age, father of two young children, somewhat happily betrothed to be married soon, you would think I'd have all the keys that I need to get out of my own particular cage. Yet, what did I start this podcast talking about? I'm overworked. Somebody asked me the other day in an interview, a very nice interview that hasn't come out yet, whether I ever had any drug issues. And the answer to that question is really no. I was lucky in that particular regard. But I said, if I'm addicted to anything, it's work. I'm addicted to work. This is not a good thing. My friends who are close to me tell me all the time, man, slow down, like take it easy, enjoy life. And I keep saying, well, I can't, right? Well, it's the same thing. Put down the bottle of booze. I got to get through today or whatever, right? So I'm not here to talk about the roots of addiction. I'm here to talk about the ego roots of imprisonment that don't allow us to live a free and happy life. So let's talk about Osiris here quickly because I want to keep it to the Autumn album. Otherwise, it just becomes a personal sort of monologue. In Osiris' case, she's committed to the idea that she's an agent of change. She was indoctrinated into that world, as many young people are now, and there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is a belief that a word, a hashtag, a simple pushing over of a domino will ultimately lead in a very nice Hunger Games storyline to a happy ending, and the werewolves slink off into the night or whatever is your teen movie narrative. That's not how the world works. I read this quote the other day online where somebody was talking about imaginary evil is kind of sexy and cool, but real evil is quite boring, mendacious, repetitive, and never seems to go away. And if you've noticed here in hundreds of thousands of years of human existence, we have not banished evil from the planet, no matter how hard we try. So is evil at the root of the human consciousness? Is it something that's supernatural that we must continue to fight until our dying breath? That's hard to say. But what I'm here to say is the battle between the individual ego and the individual's need for personal freedom, the real version requires an arduous inner mental journey that I've taken and I've talked about publicly many times. And the fantasy version is sexy and cool and involves finding the right yoga posture. And I'm here to tell you, hate to be that guy, hate to be Surly Santa, it just doesn't work that way.
But on the same point, I think that that adds a lot of inspiration to people. When you talk about things like movies like The Hunger Games or other forms of media where you see, and it's usually younger people that are fighting against an authoritarian antagonist or something like that, but it can allow for a certain amount of inspiration that you can then use into your regular life to make that change. And it might be as simple as just finding balance, which is what we were started to talk about at the beginning of the podcast, was just finding the balance with yourself, whether it's with work and with relationships and things like that. You have to kind of find that as well at that same moment. So it's about inspiring people to get to that point where they can find something within themselves to create the positive change, whether that's for themselves or with society at large. And so there's a place for that. And you're right in the fact that the most evil things are the most boring things on the planet Earth. It's, you know, the people in government that are having their closed session deals behind closed doors that are going to have probably a big negative impact on a lot of people, while a few people really benefit from that financially. You know, that's what we kind of never really get to see in the world. It's always, you know, here comes Thanos with his army and it's evil and it's there, or there's the serial killer that's on the loose. But the true evil, I think, that really persists throughout humanity is what comes down to just greed and self-interest. And the only way to commit or to combat that is to be altruistic and to help your neighbor and to be that shining light, to be that person that, you know, you see in a lot of teachings throughout religion too. It's just being a good human being a good person is the best way to combat that evil.
In my estimation, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is ambivalence. And so again, this is why young people's energy, even if it's based in a form of naivete, is still the most powerful change agent in the world because it's not ripe with cynicism. So there's something to be learned from Osiris' journey here because it's based in optimism. And again, you are hitting the nail on the head. That optimism is a very powerful thing. I used to have a spiritual teacher that oftentimes would say, fake it till you make it. So am I judging a young Billy Corgan or a young Osira for being naive in their faith that they could break out of the cage that they'd either been given or that they'd built for themselves? I, of course, argue that the stronger cage is the ones that you build yourself. In Osiris' case, it's the belief that she's going to be the sole agent of change, that she's been sort of chosen. You know, God has tapped Osiris on the head with the magical gold finger and said, you are the one. And as we know, that oftentimes is a very powerful thing. It certainly was powerful to me as a sort of faith system that eventually ran out of gas. Because I ran out of empirical data to prove that I was the one. At some point, I became number 7, number 47, number 1,042. Somebody gave me a chart not too long ago. God knows why they gave me some chart. And it was like, your band is the 1,045th most searched musical artist on the planet. It was so like, it was such a kick down number. You know what I mean? I like to think we've risen up through the charts a little bit recently. But, you know, it was like this kind of thing like, hey, you're not all that. You're 1,045. And it's like, and the ego mind will go, oh my God, I've got to get to number 800, at least be relevant. Wait a second. You're number 1,045 out of 8 billion people on the planet. That you're still doing pretty good, but the mind plays tricks on us, right? So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today, using myself as an example. And the simple sort of psychology 101 way to do it is young Billy Corgan, old Billy Corgan, right? Old Billy Corgan's sitting here telling you that I'm still, just a grumpier, older rat in the cage. Like, and you can sit me down and you're welcome to ask me these questions. Okay, William, why have you not broken out of the cage? Why are you still overworking? Okay, so let's examine my recent belief systems that allowed me to have a moment of sentience where I realized, wow, I'm still fighting something that doesn't need to be fought, or I'm still wrestling against something that doesn't need to be wrestled against. So really quickly, and I'm going to do it more like a bullet point checklist. Okay, why am I in the studio with Jimmy, God bless him, weeks before Christmas? Howard's in there as well, trying to record an album that's going to be the follow-up to Autumn, which, by the way, as you know very well listening to this podcast, isn't even out yet. Okay, number one, I believe that I must persist in my efforts to get the band back up to a level that the band belongs at. Where does that come from? That's completely in my mind. Almost nobody agrees with me. In fact, most people in the business will tell me, you're in the best position you've been in a while. Take it easy. So where does that come from? Does that come from a Chicago worth ethic? Does that come from grandparents, which had been in World War II, which gave me a sense of time and let's call it shadow, that if I didn't sort of keep working at the till, you know, the big old boogeyman was going to come and knock me over? Where do those belief systems come from? I don't know. And I'm not necessarily jumping back into therapy. But I'm wise enough to know that those belief systems are coming from a place that are not tethered to reality. In essence, I've created my own digital reality. Let's call it my own digital form of hell, which involves a lot of work, writing more songs, a need to restore a reputation which has been tarnished, in my opinion, mostly by others. And if you want to be Buddhistic about it, most of my reputational issues come from my own public narratives and tantrums. So I'm imprisoned by all these ideas. And I wake up somewhere in the middle of a long recording session, which is going quite well and beautifully, and we're working good. But I realize, wait a second, am I possibly on the wrong road? And the key is not that I'm on the wrong road, because if you want to be technical about it, most of us are all on the wrong road all the time. That's what I mean about using ambivalence as a sort of narrative point. Most of us are quite comfortable talking about the cause of the day, the hashtag of the day. Why we're also quite comfortable driving past homeless people on the street or looking the other way, you know, especially at holiday season for those in need. We must constantly, in my opinion, this is strictly my opinion, so take it as that. I believe we must constantly reevaluate our priority system set against what is ultimately spiritual principles, even if you're not a God-believing person, but you can use spiritual principles as a guide to check your ego at the door, to realize that your own construct of self, with a capital S, is usually as mythical as anything that you would create online. In essence, as an analog system, people have been creating avatars in the analog frame of the world for thousands of years. Now they just learned how to do it better digitally because it's a lot cheaper. How do you disassemble those systems, be they digital or analog? The real you that you think is the real you, or the digital you that you know is not the real you, how do you disassemble those things so you get down not only to the real you, but your real purpose and real happiness? That's sort of what I was after today. I'm not sure I'm doing a great job of it, but I think it illustrates the point that it's a journey that never ends. Kyle has talked openly on this podcast recently about some of his struggles. Part of that is, well, who is Kyle? As somebody who's a friend of Kyle's, off grid from this podcast, I wish sometimes a man like Kyle could see Kyle the way Joe and I see Kyle. Kyle's a very kind human being, a very empathetic human being, but Kyle can be very hard on himself. self. There isn't one more than one Kyle Harden himself.
I thank you for that. And I just got to step in with this because this is a struggle I have.
Is this
on
where
a
you
daily
make
basis.
Me not like you? Or
no, this is not it. And I appreciate that greatly. But you hit on something that is very valid. We're talking about like digital and this and everything. At the end of the day, we all live our lives individually with ourselves 24 hours a day. We're the only people that see us constantly. We're the only people that know what's going through our minds. We're the only people that have some sort of assumption of what our motivation is, because let's face it, we lie to ourselves too. So who knows what our motivations are. But if I know 50 people and those 50 people have consensus about who they think I am, does that make that real? Because 50 people versus one just outweighs it. That's so when you're talking about this, I have the same thing. That's the stuff that goes through my head every day. And you have been a success. You are a father now. You are getting older and being retrospective. And when you say like, why do I think this way? Why am I still this rat in a cage type of thing? I think it comes down to like a trauma happens at some point in time. And the good thing is you have an outlet for that. I don't know if Osira is the youthful exuberance and the hopeful person that maybe you think like my children will have a world that's better than this one or what. But I think that a lot of people write what they know and put themselves into the characters they write. And right now you are writing a space opera that at the end of the day has tones and themes and everything else about it that I think might be a way of you kind of outletting what you're thinking of the world right now as life's going on.
Well, that is true. And that's generally been my MO. Most people don't figure out what I'm really writing about until years and years later, if they bother at all, because most people get just stuck on the lyric, hey, rat in a cage guy, which is fine. You know, not everybody has to hear the work at the level that I write it at. This podcast is an exploration of the depth of the work in a public way, in a way that I have never done before. As it pertains to the idea of how people perceive you, you have to be very careful with that, because you have to remember that part of people's projected perceptions of others interrelates to their own self-delusional perspectives of self. You see it in online communities where people of a like mind will gather and then in a sort of hothouse effect will build upon the opinion. They will get more pernicious, more sort of judgmental of one another, and suddenly people are being kicked out of groups because they don't have the right Star Wars toy or something. You know what I mean? It's human nature. Look at the book Lord of the Flies as an example. Human nature has to do with dominance. It has to do with conquering. Much of the subtext of the social change movement is examining in an open way, and it's a question that needs to be answered. Is there something in particular societies, and I wouldn't ascribe this to race because I don't particularly believe in that, but that is there something that pertains to particular societies that has oppression built into the systems? My argument generally would be that's just the causal result of people taking power. Ultimately, they figure out they don't have enough power, and the way to get more power is to give up more and more of something, whether it's freedom, speech, or something. So back to the example of the rock star thing. When you're on top of the world, as I have been at various times, there are people in your ear, and if there are certainly people in your own little head ear, the voices in your head, telling you if you just throw three more things overboard, the load on the boat's going to be a little lighter and you're going to go a little faster and a little farther. And you see it whether people throw band members out, people turn on each other in bands, people start doing really silly stuff. We had some massive rows in the band about opportunities that came up for band members. Some band members would say, well, you can't do that because it's not for the band, it's for you. And you know, suddenly you're in these weird positions where years before you couldn't get arrested and couldn't get 50 people to come to a gig, and now you're fighting over scraps. And even using the NWA as an example, hopefully we will grow and prosper to the point where we will have people sort of questioning the inner loyalty of those who have been around the whole time, because suddenly now there's a bigger pie to divide up. To kind of sum it all up, it's easy for me to talk about these things because some of the things in my life are easy tent poles to point at. Rat in a Cage, you know, the Autumn album. I'm more so talking about the daily grind of getting out of bed, having a purpose, and wondering in the back of your mind, time versus energy versus sacrifice, that what you're doing is worthy of your effort here on earth. How much should you give to others? How much should you give to your partner? How much should you give to your family? What do you owe your community? You know, when we had the Highland Park shooting here in 2022, I felt, you know, very, very strongly, like no one asked me, I felt strongly, I have to do something. It was like on my heart, and we did this charity concert that raised money. But the most important thing for me was to put people back in a room and say, we will not be defeated by the act of one person. And maybe this is a way to kind of sum up this conversation. We can live in a beautiful, dream, whether it's analog and the one we create, I'm never going to go outside. I'm just going to sort of sit in here and look at the flowers. We can create a beautiful digital daydream where we only check the things that we like. We don't come across any words that offend us. We don't read anything that's going to make us upset. The substance of life is addressing everything that's uncomfortable and difficult about life, navigating it, finding your purpose in it, and finding a balance in it, and coming out the other side and contributing. That's my particular opinion. And that's what I'm trying to say. So if anything I've said has been helpful, I hope so, because what I'm trying to say is even myself at this point in my life, I'm still in that questioning of the equation, because as good as the musical quotient is right now, as good as I feel as a musician, as I felt in a long time, and I'm very happy to contribute on that level, there is a personal toll at play, including upon my health, that has me questioning, why am I doing what I'm doing? And last thing, if you're afraid of any question, then you're afraid. So just think about that one more time. If you're afraid of any question, then you're afraid. Don't be afraid to answer the tough questions, even if it's the questions you ask yourself or the internal dialogue, as Kyle referred to. That internal dialogue, many of us have, and I've talked about this, have a very harsh inner critic. Ask yourself whether the harsh inner critic is actually coming from your heart, asking you a tough question. Should you be eating that cookie, or should you be talking to this person that you know is toxic or whatever? Or is it just the voice of your mother or your mean aunt who got drunk on wine at night and used to say horrible things to you? Ask yourself who's talking. And if the person talking to you is yourself, you're probably okay. And don't be afraid to ask yourself the tough questions, because that vetting process is the stuff of life.
I want to talk a little bit more about that, but first we got to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to be listening to Whirr off the Pisces Iscariot album. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back, music fans. You just listened to Were off the Pisces Iscariot compilation album. But to go back to the conversation that we were having, and I was sort of inspired by what you were talking about at the end of the last segment, Billy, when you talk about fear and confronting the fear, and we talk a lot about the digital landscape that a lot of us live in. What I'm seeing a lot in the people in my life and the where I've found the most joy and the most satisfaction is when you separate out of that digital landscape and you try to confront your life and challenges in your life and the things that scare you in life on a physical level. And an example of that was, you know, pre-pandemic, I was going through a period of depression and I was just trying to find an outlet to get myself out of that. And I found a Brazilian jiu-jitsu Muay Thai studio that was near my apartment at the time. And my first reaction was I was afraid because I knew I wouldn't be good at it. And I knew that I would struggle with it. But then I embraced that fear and I went there and it turned into something that I was doing 5 days a week. And I felt so incredibly rewarded afterwards through the physical, the activity, the meeting new people, sweating on the mat, throwing punches, throwing kicks, getting choked out by random strangers. And so in confronting that fear in the physical landscape had so much more reward than it would have been if I would have just doom scrolled on Instagram or on YouTube. And I think that that's something that a lot of people could kind of get some motivation for and find that thing that scares you and to go after it.
Well, that's beautifully said. And let me just say really quickly, because I think it's fair to say that I do want to talk about Were, but I do like where you're going, and we'll spin back to Were because I know people will be curious about that track. This is what I mean when I'm saying you must break the daydream part of the equation, right? It's very easy for me to walk through life. I'm Billy Corgan, you know what I mean? And I got people coming up all the time going, "You're Billy Corgan." The real Billy Corgan is somebody who's still battling depression, insecurity, physical issues, trauma issues, navigating being a parent, navigating running multiple businesses. What those businesses are is less important than the fact that that's what sort of takes up my time and that's what's in my field of influence. To jump on your example, although it's not the same thing, taking on the National Wrestling Alliance as a separate endeavor in entertainment beyond the Smashing Pumpkins has been a huge challenge because who Billy Corgan is in the world has very little effect in the wrestling community. As I've said often, probably most of the people here wouldn't have heard me say it, Billy Corgan, the celebrity, has very little influence in professional wrestling circles. I've had to build up a reputation in professional wrestling circles as a promoter and as a booker and as an owner, et cetera, as a good person to do business with that has nothing to do with my professional music career. So that's been a huge fear. And some of the challenges that I faced along the way, including navigating the pandemic, people leaving, people going, behind the scenes contract issues, bring up a lot of those sort of insecurity issues. You know, there's this weird thing, and I'll get off it quickly, but there's this weird thing in wrestling where if you're not a professional wrestler or you don't come from a professional wrestling family, you're not OG legit, which is pretty funny to me because circa 1985, other than the fact that my father was a local musician, I mean, I was a complete unknown musician. I didn't know Jack, you know what, about music, but I became a dominant person in the musical field through talent and perseverance, which is how I'll become a dominant person in the wrestling field. But I'm oftentimes treated in wrestling as an interloper who's come in from the outside, who has no business in wrestling because I don't know, quote unquote, what I'm doing. So same thing, I've had to confront fears. And the good side of confronting those fears is everything that Joe talked about. You sort of get your blood going. It sort of breaks the spell of like, I'm Joe Galley, I'm Billy Corgan. You get down to like, wait, who is Joe Galley and who is Billy Corgan, like at the cellular molecular level? The downside of it is what I've addressed a couple times in this podcast, which is like, wait, why am I getting this call from this crazy person? Or why is this happening? Or why is this being said in public and all this other stuff? And then that little voice comes up, the 4-year-old or the 8-year-old, and he goes, man, it'd just be a whole lot easier just to take your ball and go inside and just shut the door, which is what most people go through. And that's the moment where dreams die. Somehow I've navigated that, particularly in music, over and over again, because I've certainly faced more disappointment in music than I faced success. That's not worthy of talking about at this time because it's not very pretty. And honestly, this is a great time, so I'll stick to the positive. So let's spin it back to Were because it does dovetail into this conversation. The way the Smashing Pumpkins started doing extra tracks or B-sides in particular was we got a cold call one day from a manager. And this is classic, like circa 1991 Smashing Pumpkins politics. The manager calls us and goes, hey, The UK record company wants to put out I Am One or something as a single. Great. There's only one problem. Do you guys have any extra tracks laying around? What? Yeah, they won't put the single out unless you give them an extra track because they have to have an extra track to sell at the record store so people won't come in and buy the single. Well, we don't have any extra tracks. Well, can you make one? Well, we don't have any songs. Well, you better get one or this opportunity is going to go away in 72 hours. So we would scramble, jump into a studio and record songs that people would know, Starla and Were being one of them. War was a sort of a leftover song, I guess, from the Siamese era of writing. I don't really remember much about it other than during the Siamese Dream writing sessions in the parking garage, us occasionally playing the do-do-do, do-do-do, which you would recognize having just heard that. So as you can imagine, we're coming off of Siamese Dream and you start getting that call. Hey, do you guys got any extra tracks? It's like, wait, we just spent way too much money. We about broke the band up making Siamese Dream. Now you want us to go back into the studio and record more songs? There aren't any more songs. Well, you better get some or this opportunity X, Y, and Z is going to go away. So my memory of Were was, and we talked about, well, if anybody heard my interview with Rick Beato recently, which a lot of people have referred to and said they really like, some people even said it's the best interview they ever heard me do, which is quite a compliment. I'd have to go back and listen to it. I certainly enjoyed the interview, but we talked a lot about in that interview about my relationship with Butch Vig. So in that interview, I referred to the fact that, you know, there was this relationship with Butch about how we worked and how we recorded. And Rick asked a fantastic question in the interview, which was, did your relationship with Butch Vig change after he made Nevermind and after he became this massive producer? And the answer is, of course, it did, because the Pumpkins got bigger after Gish, but Butch Vig got way, way bigger after Nevermind. You know, he was arguably the hottest producer in all the music business. And he took on the challenge of making Siamese Dream, which about killed him and us. So imagine, and this is the context that I'm in, we're coming off of Siamese Dream. We're all completely fried. We spent way too many hours in the studio. He's probably the most in-demand producer in the world. He's back at his home studio in Madison, Wisconsin. And Jimmy and I are coming up to record the extra tracks for what would be the Siamese Dream extra tracks, Were being one of them. They had changed around Smart Studios. Because they had money from Nevermind, which is success, they had rebuilt Smart Studios into kind of a nicer studio. In my estimation, they ruined what made Smart Studios special, not because they made it nicer, but because they ruined what was the drum room, which if you've heard the Gish drum sound was an incredible drum sound, maybe one of the greatest drum sounds we ever got. And people still talk about that drum sound. So I go back, the drum sound's different. Now there's suddenly people working there that we don't recognize. Butch is this big producer. You know, we're this surly rock band. Now got our big major label debut coming out or having just come out. So there's a little bit more ego in the room. And now we got to hunker back down into the grind of coming up with some extra tracks, which, by the way, were rejected or not used for the album. Whenever you get into extra tracks for bands, it's always kind of a funny thing, which is why, by and large, through the years, I've recorded the extra tracks by myself. Because if you're working with the producers that you worked with, they've already rejected the songs. Were was one of those songs that nobody really thought much of. And if you listen to it in the context of our work at the time, I would argue it's stronger than some of the songs in Siamese Dream. And some fans have argued through the years that the album would have been better if Were had made the record. Were benefits from the work on Siamese Dream in the sense that we'd recorded the album, I'd learned a lot. And so it's a little bit of a funny tale to say, well, it would have been better on the album because it benefits from having made the album and now I'm recording it in the absence. But it was a one-day endeavor. We had to do it quick. Butch was super busy. He was slightly distracted. I can't blame him for that. I certainly was slightly distracted. And as we used to do back in the old days, and this was really our last recording session with Butch Vig, here's Jimmy and I up in Madison at Smart Studios and strip away the fame, strip away the ego of the whole thing. Now we're just back in the cold studio on the floor trying to make music. And so we're really benefits, I guess, from that environment, both from the afterglow of success, but also from the sense that things were coming to a particular end, maybe in ways that we didn't realize. There's sort of a sweetness there that sort of captures what would be the dying embers of the original version of the band until we became the dark force that we became very soon after that.
And the song really fits into the narrative of this entire podcast we've been talking about introspective. The first lyrics, I wasted all my years, been chasing all my fears for another brighter than him I gave in long ago.
What's brighter than you, but...
Well, the lyrics online lied to me. Wrong. I am so sorry.
As Corinne Luxon can tell you, social media director for the Smashing Pumpkins, probably 20% of the lyrics online about the Smashing Pumpkins in reference to my songs are completely wrong. We hope to correct the record at one point. I certainly want to do a lyrical book, which I've been told by publishers no one would care to buy. Of course, I refute that, and we'll get around to it eventually. But yeah, most of the lyrics that you find of mine online are wrong. You know how I know that? Because sometimes I have to look at my own lyrics to get ready for a tour. And I'm like, what the hell are these lyrics? They're so off.
Have you ever changed a song based off of the lyrics where you read and you're like, that's got to be it. Yeah, sure, run with it. And then later on, it turns out I've evolved the song by accident.
Occasionally, I saw a lyric somewhere. I convinced myself that was the lyric because, as you know, fans, in kind quotations, as Roy Thomas Baker, the great producer, pointed out, diction is not my strong suit in singing. I was in choir and I do know how to sing. But let me give a quick illustration. I don't oftentimes sing on the podcast. So, if we're using the old Billy voice, which I can still sing with, I've wasted all my years, been chasing all my fears for another brighter than him. Him, you say him. Okay, now we'll sing it in proper choir. I've wasted all my years, been chasing all my fears for another brighter. I don't think that sells any records, so.
I like the real Billy voice. That first one, rock. That second one, I'm like, what is happening right now?
If I wasn't coming off a cold, I could do it even better. I could still, there's a lot of people who think I can't sing that way anymore. I still can. It takes a second one. I've wasted all my years, been chasing all my fears for another brighter than you. Whatever the lyric is. See,
doesn't matter. We just got a private concert from you. That's pretty effing cool.
Listen, nothing would thrill me more than to be holding hands with you on the beach, the night waves crashing in as we talk about the real Kyle and the real Billy. Joe, I think that's the perfect way to wrap this all up.
I like that it took us 16 episodes to get you to sing once. I think that we're finally breaking a mold here. But ladies and gentlemen, we're approaching the new year, and you can celebrate the new year in style, especially if you're in the greater Knoxville area, by attending our first ever live NWA Power. Tickets available at nwatix.com. It is on January 31st. We have some of the biggest stars in the National Wrestling Alliance are going to be there. It's at the Knoxville Convention Center, a lovely building, lovely place to see some wrestling. So if you are a wrestling fan, you want to go ahead and you want to be a part of that. Isn't that right, Kyle?
That is absolutely correct. Make sure you're doing that. Know what else make sure you're doing? Make sure you're listening to new episodes. They drop every Tuesday. Use the hashtag WPC33 spelled out. And you can follow Joe Galli on Instagram at Joe Galli and Twitter, Joe Galli News. I'm online as at Kyle Davis ATL, even though I don't live in Atlanta anymore. Oops. And most importantly, Billy Corgan's on Twitter at Billy and Instagram at Billy Corgan. Stop by SmashingPumpkins.com for merch. Spirits on Fire just ended, folks, but there's going to be more tours coming up. Let's face it. You're listening to this new album, another album coming up on there. But still, make sure you like, subscribe, share, rate, and review the podcast wherever you're listening to it. A quote as this podcast has gone from my favorite movie, Vanilla Sky. Just remember, you can't enjoy the sweet without the sour.
Who made that movie, Kyle?
He married the woman from Heart.
Oh, Cameron Crowe?
It was a Cameron Crowe movie. Music is very integral to it. Right. And Jason Lee's character has that.
That's right. I met Cameron Crowe once, and I met, is it Nancy Wilson? Yes. I met Nancy Wilson once at a U2 concert, dropping names as usual. I made the mistake of telling Nancy Wilson that I liked one of Heart's 70 singles that I had the 7-inch of, and she gave me a blank look, and it was very awkward. So apparently I picked the wrong song to say that I liked as a kid. I've had this experience, and I kind of understand the blank look. I can't say I've never done it to others. As a fellow artist to artist, it was one of the most awkward exchanges I've ever had with a fellow musical alum. So on that note, a positivity going into 2023. I am a Heart fan, so please don't take that the wrong way. We've all had our awkward celeb encounters. Let me end by saying thank you for listening, and let's jump into 2023 with positivity and optimism. And part of that positivity and optimism is being willing to look at the world with clear and unvarnished eyes. I really believe the kindest thing in the world to do is to see the world as it is and do something about it. Living in a beautiful fantasy daydream and then pretending that everything's magically going to go away, that hasn't worked yet, and it never will, in my humble opinion. So to Heart, the band, and the song Heartless, which if I had the rights to, I would play, which is the song that I liked. You could argue that was a heartless moment, actually, if we're going to go with the pun. Anyway,
bring we'll it all around. I love it.
We'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Take a pause from your to-do list with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.